Russia and Iran have grown closer as military partners since Russia invaded Ukraine. How has Iran's involvement impacted the front lines? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
Through our reporting lens, this relationship is all about military and technological aid. Weapons, components, manufacturing know-how, etc. Army General Michael Kurilla, the CENTCOM boss, this month told Congress that Iran has provided Russia at least 1,000 attack drones and dozens of multipurpose unmanned aerial systems for use against Ukrainian troops.
Also, the Army has another Apache helicopter mishap, its third in 2 months. What does this all mean for our defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Hey guys, before we get started, we have an announcement. There's no easy way to say this, but tomorrow will be our final episode of the Early Bird Brief. We are no doubt going to miss delivering the show, but in the meantime, Jonathan and I just wanted to say that it has been an honor bringing you your daily national security news over the time we were given, and we've loved growing this podcast into something thousands tune into each day. Lastly, we hope you'll continue subscribing to our newsletters and visiting our websites for the latest military and defense news. Now back to the show. First up, Russia and Iran's military partnership is continuing to grow, and that has some U.S. officials worried. For more on this, Military Networks and Cyber Reporter Colin Demarest joins the episode. So, Colin, a Central Command assessment has identified a blossoming military partnership between Iran and Russia. Just what exactly does that joint effort consist of?
Through our reporting lens, this relationship is all about military and technological aid. Weapons, components, manufacturing know-how, etc. Army General Michael Kurilla, the CENTCOM boss, this month told Congress that Iran has provided Russia at least 1,000 attack drones and dozens of multipurpose unmanned aerial systems for use against Ukrainian troops, with plans to later assist domestic production. That figure is way up from August, when estimates were in the hundreds. Of particular interest is Iran's Shahed series of drones, which offers users a deadly payload with more than 1,000 miles of range, all at relatively low cost and using commercial materials. Russia has a lookalike, and footage of mass production surfaced online earlier this year. Houthis in Yemen also have a Shahed clone that the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency has analyzed very closely. Overall, it's apparently a very attractive platform.
How is that collaboration rearing its head in terms of threat to U.S. security?
Look at Ukraine, where fighting has been likened to a drone war. And look at the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, where Yemen-based rebels are launching unmanned systems strapped with explosives both in the air and on the water. U.S. Rep. Joe Courtney, a Democrat from Connecticut, earlier this month said one of the most obvious manifestations of Iran's belligerence is the fact that they've now become a major weapons supplier to foreign governments. And that clearly includes Russia, as our reporting shows. U.S. Rep. Mike Rogers, an Alabama Republican, likewise said Iran has been a patron of terrorism for decades.
Another important story, an Army AH-64E Apache helicopter mishap in Washington State on Monday night sent two crew members to the hospital. A 7th Infantry Division spokesperson said the pair survived the accident and were taken to Madigan Air Medical Center, where they remain in stable condition. The identities of the crew members and the extent of their injuries remain unclear as of this recording Wednesday night. The cause of the incident, which occurred during a 16th Combat Aviation Brigade training exercise, is under investigation. The incident marks the third Apache mishap in the last 2 months. Following a pair of recent Apache helicopter crashes, the Army National Guard ordered a component-wide pause on flight missions in February. This is also not the first time in recent memory that an Apache incident has taken place in Washington. Last fall, an aviation mishap occurred that led to the crew's evacuation for medical evaluation. And last May, an accident during a routine training exercise in Yakima Training Center sent the crew to the hospital. Those incidents followed a string of Army helicopter crashes that left more than a dozen personnel dead and prompted a force-wide safety stand down in April 2023. Also on your radar for today, a government watchdog report found that troops aren't getting enough sleep. Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III breaks down the latest for us. So Leo, what exactly did the Government Accountability Office find regarding troops and their sleeping habits?
Yeah, this latest Government Accountability Office study is building off of past ones the Defense Department and other people have done. that say that troops simply aren't getting enough sleep. You know, we've heard in the past that active duty troops are two times as likely to get 6 hours or less than their civilian peers. Congress asked for more information, said they're concerned about this amount of sleep deprivation, the accidents that it could cause. And this latest GAO study said not only are they seeing the same problems persisting, but that DoD really isn't moving forward with any improvements. They said they've done some research, they've done some limited attempts to try and fix this, to try and find ways to make it so that troops are getting adequate rest. But these aren't really coordinated efforts. Everything's still sort of fractured and uncoordinated, and therefore they're not really seeing progress on the issue. And they say it needs to see progress, because this can lead to serious accidents, serious problems for their duty responsibilities.
Did the GAO offer any possible solutions to the issue?
Yeah, in the first space, they say that DoD can follow through on the things it has said that it already wants to do. Back in 2021, the Defense Department issued its own set of recommendations looking at adopting new duty schedules to ensure that troops have the possibility of 8 hours of sleep, providing resources to troops who want to cut back on caffeine use or energy drink use, to try and help them sleep better and get more restful sleep, and establishing sleep leadership issues, making sure that folks are in charge of this. But DoD hasn't followed through on any of this. So GAO is saying, look, you need to do that, and you need to really start making this an issue, make this a priority, establish people within each of the services who can work this into the healthcare and the medical readiness needs of troops. Because if you keep ignoring it, it's just going to snowball into a bigger problem.
And now here's some other stories we're hearing chirps about. Military.com reported that the Air Force is still not flying Osprey aircraft in Japan. That's despite getting the green light to lift a months-long flight hold following a deadly crash off the country's southern coast. The Marine Corps has put its aircraft there back in the skies. Stars and Stripes reported that more than 1,100 members of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will assist in operations following the collapse this week of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. And Veterans Affairs officials announced that medical sites saw a spike in patient visits and a drop in wait times over the first half of the new fiscal year. That's thanks in part to the addition of more night and weekend appointments. And on this day in history in 1979, one of the worst accidents in the history of the U.S. nuclear power industry began at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by Colin Demarest, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and Leo Shane III. Have a great day.